Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
It is the Royal Blue Podcast. It is Derby Day. I'm Ian Crawl, your host, and today I'm joined by Connor O'Neill. Connor, you are at home, day off. I'm in the studio. It is a big, massive day. How are the nerves?
Yeah, they're actually okay. I think after, you know, Evertonians by now should not want to get too confident on Derby Day. I think we've seen probably better effort teams be swept aside by Liverpool than what we've got at the minute. So, yeah, the nerves are okay, obviously. I think I was more nervous on Sunday, to be honest. But, yeah, I think the Forest game was obviously of huge importance, wasn't it? Against relegation rival, especially after Luton Town's hammering on Saturday against Brentford. So, yeah, the nerves are okay. It's obviously, I hate this saying, but it probably is a bit of a free hit, isn't it, tonight for the Blues, because no one expects them to win. No one, you know, really expects them to get anything from the game. And if we're being, you know, brutally honest, the game before and the game after the derby were always the biggest on Everton's agenda in this month.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've already just answered one of my questions. Is this a free hit? So, you've kind of touched on it there, but is it a free hit? Anything I'd probably say other than a defeat is a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the way the saying free hit, because you should always kind of want to win any football match you're involved in it. You know, you shouldn't settle for anything less than 3 points. But when you look at the context of this, obviously, you know, there's a team I've had a bit of an indifferent few weeks, but, you know, on the whole, have been really impressive this season. Obviously, Klopp's record on field is incredibly good. You know, Everton haven't had too much success over the pool in recent years. So, you know, you look at all their factors, you'll probably argue and say, you know, this is a free hit, isn't it? You know, if they do pick anything up, then it's a bonus. But, you know, I still think there's a large element of pride. Obviously, you know, I spoke about pride after the Chelsea defeat. You know, there will be no better way, I think, for Everton to almost these final weeks of the season by picking up an unexpected win tonight and giving the fans something really to cheer about. And, you know, Everton don't have much to cheer about when it comes to getting one over on their local rivals, actually. So, you know, in that sense, this is a good opportunity for the Blues tonight to give the fans something to shout about and that extra spring in the spec tomorrow. But I think in the context of it, you know, if Everton do get anything tonight, then it's a bonus. And I think we would all agree that, you know, the game that they really needed to win before this was Sunday, which they have done, obviously. You know, they're going to have a big game on Saturday against Brentford.
Yeah, and, you know, just for our the audience watching there, this is a Merseyside derby preview show, but I do want to just touch on Forest a little bit, because I haven't been on a pod since then. I don't know if you have, Connor, but it was just massive, that, wasn't it? Because let's face it, coming off the back of the Chelsea defeat, although we'd beaten beaten Burnley, the form was just still shocking. So we were kind of still really going into the unknown against Forest, because we were and have been still that bad. So even a draw would have been a really poor result there because it would have just kept us in the mire. But now that you look at that table following the 2-0 win, it just makes an absolute world of difference. 5 points clear of Luton, who occupied the last relegation space. Effectively, we're ahead by 6 points because obviously the goal difference. So Luton effectively need us to lose all of our games for the rest of the season, and you know, for them to pick up a minimum of six, if my maths stands me right. So, you know, we've all been a bit critical, probably more than others, of Sean Dyche and the players of that over the past couple of weeks. But you know, let's face it, you've got to give credit where credit's due. The players, first of all, let's give credit to the fans. The fans, you know, once again, have dragged the team over the line, or seemingly dragging the team over the line. But the players really showed up on Sunday, and credit to Sean Dyche and the players for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's quite a few elements there. Do you think, you know, firstly, it's only right that you touch on the fans. Obviously, the campaign of the 1878, you know, the flags and, you know, people wearing blue and stuff like that was absolutely superb. And, you know, Goodison was well and truly rocking before the two teams come out. And, you know, you look at the, you know, you look around the ground, and it was, you know, it was fantastic to see the flags and the banners and stuff like that. And, you know, again, you know, you just love that to be in a position. You'd love that to be getting done wherever, and have actually got something to, you know, play for or challenge them for, or, you know, a game that doesn't mean not being dragged into the relegation dogfight even more. And, you know, when you look at the game on the whole, you know, Sean Dyche made some pretty bold, I think, and brave decisions. You know, with his selection, obviously, James Garner dropped out, Amadou Onana dropped out, obviously Ashley Young went to right back. There was a few bold, brave decisions in there, which I think a lot of people were perhaps surprised at, maybe weren't expecting, but they certainly paid dividends. And I think ultimately as well, you know, the players showed up, didn't they? They showed a little bit of fight, they showed a little bit of aggression. Yeah, it wasn't exactly a classic, and probably not a game of football that'll go down in the history books as one for the purists, but you know, when you the point where Everton are and Forest are, you know, in this time of the season, it's about getting 3 points, and you know, like, got down on Sunday. So there was a lot of questions I thought were answered on Sunday. I think certainly in terms of, obviously, you know, after the Chelsea defeat, there was obviously a lot of questions about whether Sean Dyche had lost the dressing room, you know, whether players were down in tools a little bit. You know, we obviously have our own in-depth discussion on the Rugby podcast after that, and you know, where kind of things were heading. But you know, you look at, you know, Sunday afternoon, there was no evidence that the players are down tools and they weren't, you know, playing for the manager, playing for the shirt, playing for the club. So that was one real positive, because you did fear about, you know, a defeat at the hands of Forest Woods, and questions are only going to grow. And like I said, I think it was a bit of an afternoon where Sean Dyche was vindicated, because a lot of the big calls he made paid off. And, you know, some might say Ashley Young was a very lucky boy. But, you know, ultimately, VAR swings around a lot. There's been plenty of times, not just this season, but in previous seasons, where Everton have been on the wrong end of some pretty poor VAR decisions. So perhaps things do swing both ways.
What did you make of the embarrassing sweep from Nottingham Forest when you first saw it?
Well, I was still sat at a press box at Goodison, and I saw someone retweeted it on my Twitter timeline. And I actually checked it to see if it was actually the right club account. To be actually a thing, I'm like, you know, is it just kind of someone has made an account that looks like a club account type thing? You know, we've all, I think, felt guilty to stuff like that in the past, haven't we? But it pretty much became pretty clear that it was the official club account. And I just remember another Joe Thomas next to me and showed him. And I showed Dominic King of the Daily Mail sat behind me, and I was saying to him, we have seen this. Like, this is it's incredible. It was incredible, wasn't it? It's something that you don't see every week. I don't think it's something that we're going to see every week. I understand why Forest have got a few gripes. I think, you know, certainly there was a few of them decisions at the weekend. You know, there's probably elements to say, well, yes, they are penalties, and we've probably seen at different points in the season times where they have been penalties, and obviously times where they haven't been penalties. But the whole, you know, reaction and, you know, the way they went about it afterwards, I thought it was embarrassing, and it just, you know, put them in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons.
Well, I missed the Forest game, as you know, and I also missed the Burnley game. So I've missed the last two home wins, and you've told me I'm barred from Goodison Park tonight. Yeah. So does that still stand?
Well, like I told you, we can only go on recent history and recent events. And recent history and events say, when you don't turn up, Everton generally tend to win. So tonight, there's been a free hit. So tonight's a good test of his victory there. You know, if the Blues don't get a victory, then perhaps on Saturday you need to stand aside.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Well, just for, you know, full disclosure, I have been at Goodison Park this season whenever and I've won football matches. So let us know in the comments if you think I should attend tonight's match. I am planning on going. So yeah, I suppose that is a good way to just have a quick word to the people watching now. Let us know what you think about the match today. Let us know your predictions. Send in your questions, your opinion. There's a few coming in already, Connor, just about whether we should risk Dominic Calvert-Lewin tonight because, you know, he's been injured. So we will come on to that. There's plenty to get through. And before we, again, just before we come on to the Merseyside Derby, just give us a like, give us a subscribe, support the channel. Every bit of support that you give us is really appreciated. So, yeah, and the more support that you give, the more content that we obviously can put out. So, Connor, I mean, you know, fantastic results. In your mind now, just looking at that table, with the games left, you know, taking even Liverpool out of this, do you think Everton are safe?
No, because they're not mathematically safe.
Okay, well, but...
And you should never assume you're safe until you're mathematically safe.
Mathematically safe is not that. But obviously, that's factual. But in terms of the games that Luton have got left and the games that we've got left, you would fully expect us to pick up at least three, even if they come in the form of draws, and you wouldn't expect Luton to pick up. Is it they've got four games left now? You wouldn't expect them to be to pick up 12 from their remaining four. I don't know. I was just very pleased with the result. First of all, the performance was certainly better against Forest, and then just looking at that table, the gap, you can almost breathe a sigh of relief. Obviously, there's plenty of mitigating factors with regards to the derby tonight. We obviously want to win for our sake, but there's other reasons as well. How do you see Liverpool, you know, heading into this? They beat Fulham, but they're not really in the best place, considering they've just, you know, they're out the cup, they're out the Europa League, and, you know, effectively, you know, they were probably favourites for the title probably up till about 3 weeks ago, and now the third favourites, you would have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think just going back there in terms like the mathematically, you know, safe from where they see themselves. Obviously, you're not safe until you're mathematically safe, but you can't help but feel that, you know, by Saturday evening, Everton have a very good chance of, you know, having one foot in next season's Premier League if they were to beat Brentford. Such was the magnitude of the win on Sunday, because obviously, I think, you know, certainly I felt this chop of, I thought Luton would have got something against Brentford on Saturday. I thought that was a game that they, you know, could easily have got 3 points, if not at least a point. The way they lost, obviously, you know, they lost 5-1, but the way they lost, I think it was quite alarming, because I think it was a bit of a sign of maybe just the wheels coming off, but that little bit of fight spirit has perhaps deserted them at the wrong time. So I think for Everton to then battle up the next day and win 2-0, okay, I say it wasn't a classic, but to grind out 3 points, you know, puts them in a really solid position going into, you know, tonight and then obviously this weekend's games. And, you know, you would like to hope that, you know, beat Brentford on Saturday, and then obviously, you know, it's moving away then, isn't it? The following Friday, and then Sheffield United at home. You know, you'd like to hope that by, you know, certainly by the time, you know, the game in Sheffield United finishes, that the Blues are, well, you know, mathematically safe and plan of being able to plan for next season. And we're not having to go to Arsenal on the final day, you know, nervously looking over our shoulder, or, you know, getting a little bit edgy. But, you know, touching on to Liverpool tonight, it's been a real strange one, hasn't it? Because, you know, I was, you know, obviously everyone was impressed with them at the start of the season. They really fell on form, you know, Christmas, and, you know, certainly looked like they were title contenders. Then obviously Klopp drops that bombshell, doesn't he? He's off in the summer, you know, January, the exit. And all of a sudden, you know, Liverpool seems to be about a little bit more purpose, extra string in the step. And, you know, it's only a few weeks ago I was, you know, tipping them for the quadruple in the office, you know, saying, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if they go all the way here, because, you know, having won the Carabao Cup, they look, you know, red hot favourites for the title. You know, the FA Cup was in reach. And obviously, you know, you looked at the Europa League, and if I'm being honest, you know, you probably looked at it and thought, well, with the exception of Bayer Leverkusen, there's no one really there who's going to cause Liverpool a major threat in this. And, you know, provided they don't do nothing mad, they've got a very good chance to go into Dublin and win the competition. No, now all of a sudden, you look at us and we're, you know, we're heading into the end, but then they're April, heading into May. You know, they're probably the third favourites now for the title. They've got to win tonight to stay in the title race after being beaten by Crystal Palace. A couple of weeks ago, so they've got to win tonight to stay in the title race. Obviously, they've been bumped out of the Europa League. You know, they've been bumped out of the FA Cup by Manchester United. So tonight's a massive, massive game for Liverpool, because, you know, I don't think, and obviously mathematically, the title hopes aren't over if they lose tonight, but they would be severely dented, and they would need a massive, massive string of events. But when you think of, when it comes to Man City and Arsenal, and having watched Arsenal last night, you know, comprehensively sweep aside Chelsea, you know, it shows that they're going nowhere, and they look like they're in the fight to the end of the season. Obviously, City, we've become accustomed to winning football matches this time of the season. They're just a well-oiled machine who, you know, come match it, but just find another gear to everyone else and just go on mad winning runs. So, yeah, I think Liverpool, it's been really interesting, because, like, I think they've been a club who, you know, essentially, in February, everyone was thinking, you know, they could do the unthinkable, you know, get the quadruple, they could do, you know, they could do this, they could do that. You know, Klopp's exit's clearly given that a little bit more purpose, and they want to send them out on the ultimate high. So now all of a sudden, you know, they've had a bit of a fall from grace, and, you know, they've got a win tonight to stay in the title race. So I hope the pressure really is on them tonight. You know, I know we said there about the free kick, but the pressure really is on Liverpool tonight, and they've got a win, and, you know, they to stay in the title race. So I think it's going to be intriguing to see how Jurgen Klopp sets up, because obviously at the weekend at Fulham, he made a number of changes. Obviously, Skobotsky, Salah, Nunes, McAllister all starts on the bench. So you wonder whether, you know, with any decisions made with tonight in mind, you know, he's going to go full kilt and go for it. So yeah, I think it's going to be intriguing to see whatever Liverpool turn up, because, you know, like I said, the last few weeks, they haven't been a Liverpool of what we saw, you know, from the end of January into February.
And the pressure's very much on them, isn't it, Connor? Let's face it. You know, I think if we'd have lost against Forest, the pressure certainly would have been on us because of the position we would have found ourselves in. But you look at the form guides, I suppose, if that's what you want to call it, of Merseyside derbies at Goodison. And although we haven't won a lot, Liverpool haven't won as many as you would actually think themselves. It's predominantly a draw, I think, which we would all probably take right now, because that sees obviously another point to our tally. It sees Liverpool, you know, another dent in their title race. So, is Klopp struggling to manage that pressure at this moment in time? And, you know, can we obviously be able to capitalise on that?
I don't know if it's a case of that he's struggling to manage the pressure, because obviously they've been in this situation before. You know, obviously they've twice run City close to the title, they once won the title. So I don't know if it's managed. I don't know whether they just kind of ran out of steam, to be honest. You know, it's been a long old season, hasn't it? You think of, at, you know, varying points of this season, it feels like a lot of clubs have had dips. You know, you think of Everton, you know, probably had their dip from just after Christmas, didn't they? Where, you know, they played them three games in 7 days, and it's quite clear that they haven't got a squad capable of playing three games in 7 days and meeting demands, and then they had a bit of a dip in form. You know, some of the performance, you think at the Crystal Palace away in the FA Cup, the performance wasn't great. They looked a little bit deprived of energy. Wolves away was another one. So you don't know whether they just ran out of steam. And, you know, and also the effects of, you know, Klopp leaving. I mean, it's talk, obviously, you know, there's a lot of players in the dressing room now who know that this time next year they'll have a new manager. You know, there's a few of them who are coming towards the end of contracts. You know, is the new manager going to want to keep them? They're going to be on the same money, etc. So you wonder whether they're mitigating factors and now taking the holes, and, you know, people are perhaps nervously looking over the shoulder and going, well, actually, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen here. You know, the manager's going, you know, this could happen, that could happen. So I think there's mitigating factors. I don't know if it's a case of, like, the, you know, the struggling to cope with the pressure. But I do just think, you know, ultimately as well, they're playing against the actual powerhouse, aren't they? Manchester City, who just generally tend to sweep everything aside. And I think that in itself is a gigantic battle that people underestimate, and how tough it is to go toe-to-toe with them when they're just winning every week. So, but tonight, you know, the pressure's on Liverpool tonight. You know, Liverpool have got to win. And make no bones about that. And, you know, people will be expecting them to win. So, you know, yeah, you are right. The pressure is on Liverpool tonight to come out on top.
Well, the pressure's on me as well to make a decision of whether I'm going the game, because a couple of tweets just coming in here. You are definitely barred and don't you dare go. So it's going to be I'm going to be torn about what to do here, Connor, to be honest. But you probably will see me at Goodison Park.
Maybe because this is travelling, you know, if you go tonight and you don't get the results, maybe on Saturday, just, you know, put the club and, you know, step aside.
Well, we've got limited games at Goodison Park, to be honest, Connor, so I'm trying to make the most of going to every single one that I can go to. But I'm not superstitious like you, so we'll see what happens. I'm fairly confident at least we can get, you know, a draw. I don't know about a win, but I'm confident that we can dent Liverpool's title hopes and hopefully get a point to add to our tally. Okay, well, we usually do team news at the end, but we might as well start, well, not start off with it, we might as well just go into it now, because there is a lot of decisions for Sean Dyche to make, and we've got quite a few questions now coming in with regards to our thoughts on the team. So I'll just read one out. David Atherton, do you think Dyche risks Dominic Calvert-Lewin tonight or keeps him back for Brentford at the weekend? He also touches upon, I think this is a tap-in for Dyche. We need to see if Schmetti has anything about him. The Brentford game is more winnable.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I mean, I understand and can see why people want to see Calvert-Lewin rested, because if you do look at the bigger picture, Saturday is a much bigger game. But I just think there's, with Beto's injury, obviously, you know, Beto unfortunately will play and reduce the concussion rules, and rightly so, by the way. You know, there's no way he should be anywhere near a football pitch after what happened on Sunday. Even if he is feeling okay, you know, he's come out unscathed. I just think it's probably one of them nights where it's not the night where you would put Schmitty in for your first start, or Premier League start, a baptism of fire. I think he would probably start Calvert-Lewin, and probably just be a case of see how it goes. If we get to an hour, maybe take him off and go with Calvert-Lewin again on Saturday. I can understand the clamour for Calvert-Lewin not being risked, but I just don't see that happening tonight, because I think Everton have got to give Liverpool something to think about, and the only way they do that is if they put Calvert-Lewin up top to cause Van Dijk some problems.
I mean, he was touch and go anyway, though, so it's not certain that he will.
Start, if he's not fit, then obviously he doesn't play, and we don't expect him to play. But I just think if he is fit enough to play, then you've got to play just to give Liverpool something to think about, because I'm not sure Schmitty at this moment in time is at the point of the battle where he will, you know, cause Liverpool problems.
Yeah, I mean, there's other options as well, isn't there? Probably ones that you wouldn't really consider. I know in a couple of Echo pieces following Dyche's press conference that there was talk of Dan Juma maybe starting up front. You know, whether you would, obviously this is in line with probably in the frame of thinking that Calvert-Lewin isn't going to start the game, Dan Juma, but there was also talk of playing Onana further up the field in a more, you know, advanced role. And again, someone mentioned Michael Keane. I don't know how feasible that is.
I don't think
he was it. That, I mean, I have in the past advocated Keane to play up front.
You've been one of the biggest campaigners to get up front.
I've eased down on that campaign now, to be honest, since we started scoring one or two goals. But yeah, I mean, you know, Danjuma, he hasn't featured, he's barely featured at all. Would he be strong enough?
He's been injured, hasn't he? So, it's a lower in the sense of obviously he picked up a knock. So it's whether he's fit enough to be, to be a part of it. I think this is the problem now, isn't it? We're at the point where, Everton don't have a massive squad, they don't have massive resources, one or two injuries, one or two knocks. You start to feel the effects. And obviously, like I say, I'm fully on board. I think, from what he said, thankfully, Beto was unscathed from the weekend. It did look horrible and it wasn't nice to witness live. And the reaction of the Everton players as well was quite alarming because you did start to feel the worst. But I do agree with, the concussion rules around people not playing, even if, he is okay and he's being checked and he's being given the okay, you shouldn't be anywhere near playing competitive sports or, in and around a football pitch just days after something like that's happened. So, but that's unfortunate because you think, in an ideal world, you would like to think, Calvert-Lewin starts at the weekend, comes out, Beto will play soon. Tonight could have been a hobby on them where you maybe start Beto, bring Calvert-Lewin on, then Saturday start Calvert-Lewin, it could have worked out nicely. Obviously, hasn't got that luxury. I think it'll be a case of we'll see who's fit and who, is in a position to, essentially, lead the line. And I've got a feeling if he is fit, it'll be Calvert-Lewin. I don't really see how Danjuma plays up top just yet. But you never know. I mean, Sean Dyche last year threw a few curveballs and he went to Anfield in the derby. He played Ellis Sims up top, which, surprised everyone and took everyone, by surprise. So you really wouldn't be that surprised if Schmitty does get the nod. But I just think from a personal perspective, if Calvert-Lewin's fit, then you've got to go with, we've got to go with Calvert-Lewin just to give Van Dijk and Liverpool something to think about and at least put them under pressure.
Well, it obviously is. He probably wouldn't have that presence, would he? And we probably don't play to Danjuma's strengths as a player who plays up front. And we know that's not really his natural position. He predominantly would come in off the wing. But the other one, if you want to call it a curveball, and it's something I've not really advocated for in the past, but it's something that I've thought could work well. It was mentioned that Onana could be pushed forward in more of an advanced role. Now, that's open to interpretation, whether he would be, the main focal point, if that's what you want to call it, or, play behind a striker, whether it was Danjuma. The reason I bring this up as a bit of a point with the team selection is because Onana obviously didn't start against Forest, and it was Guy and Gomez. So, first of all, does he come back in the team for you, Onana, in his natural midfield role? Or is he kind of shoehorned into a, if Calvert-Lewin is unfit, is he kind of shoehorned into a more of an advanced role?
The big question on that is if Calvert-Lewin is fit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think tonight that, personally, I think the midfield three will be Garner, Guy, Onana, and Decore will play off Calvert-Lewin if he is fit. That's my personal. But obviously, if Calvert-Lewin isn't fit, then possibly Onana might move forward. But I don't see Sean Dyche taking that decision and affording Onana that luxury of perhaps playing a little bit further forward. I think if he does play tonight, he'll be playing alongside it, just to get in the middle of the pitch, just for the legs that'll be needed to cope with the energy of the improved midfield three. And I think that's why perhaps we might see a change as well, because I'm not sure. I think Andre Gomez is a very good technical footballer. I'm just not sure he's got the legs to be able to compete with Liverpool's midfield like Onana and Odrisagai have. So I would be surprised if tonight it's Onana, Odrisagai and Decore, just for the energy and the ability to get around the pitch to match Liverpool's midfield three.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll finish off with the defensive options and then we'll verify the team selection. But probably the only one worth talking about defensive-wise, I don't think we've got any injury problems, but would Ashley Young go straight back in the team for you, Connor? I mean, we know he caused uproar over the weekend with some of his challenges and the handball, you know, situation. Does he go back in there, or are we? Is there a Godfrey goes back in there? I just think he looks very like he can obviously give away a penalty, and we know that's the weak side of the defence at this moment in time.
In the eyes of a lot of people, he should give away three on Saturday, Saturday, Sunday. So, but no, I mean, this is a real interesting one for time for Dyche, because obviously we saw in the Anfield game, you know, when you think about tough afternoons, obviously Ashley lasted 38 minutes and was sent off because he quite simply couldn't cope with the pace of Luis Diaz. It was history repeat itself tonight. That probably a good possibility. Obviously, Ash Young's 38 years of age, so you know it's no disgrace not being able to keep up with someone who's significantly younger than you. But it's a risk that Sean Dyche takes. But then at the same time, I just don't know whether Sean Dyche has got the full faith in Ben Godfrey to go in at right back and do a job. But if it was me picking tonight's team, I'll put Ben Godfrey in over Ashley Young, just because Ben Godfrey's at least got pace and the athleticism to be able to keep up at Liverpool's forward line, more so than Ashley Young has. But I can see why on both hands, the pros and cons, because like I say, Godfrey's also been guilty of giving away goals in recent weeks when he's been given his opportunities. Young obviously had a torrid afternoon up against Diaz in Anfield back in October. So, you know, history could well repeat itself, and obviously, like you say, he didn't exactly cover himself in glory on Saturday, did he, against Notts Forest? So it's a real tough decision for Dyche, one which I think there's probably no right answer, right solution. But what I do think is that ultimately, I think Godfrey just will get out the North of East just because of his pace and his athleticism. But I mean, it's nice like tonight, isn't it? Because we're Everton saw him with Seamus Coleman, because you know Seamus Coleman was fit and available. You have no doubt that he'd be slotting it right back and be leading the team. So his miss is sort, you know, his absence is sorely missed in these circumstances. But if it was down to me, I'd go Godfrey just for his athleticism and pace.
Can I throw a James Garner at right full back for you? What do you think of that?
Just because of James Garner playing right back from last season, because I thought he was superior in his ball on the last day when he played then, obviously he played for the under-21s at right back when he won the Euros in the summer.
Yeah, I was going to say it's on his Finland.
I was a big advocate of that, but I remember saying that. I think it was a piece of a pod, and a lot of people shot me down. I'm the same way. By trying to put one of our best midfielders to right back, but again, I wouldn't be too disheartened if it's James Garner played right back tonight. I think, you know, he's shown that he can comfortably go there and do a good job. I just don't see it. I just don't think Sean Dyche would look to use James Garner at right back. I think it'll be Ben Godfrey, or actually for me, I think it should be Ben Godfrey. But now I've said this, you know what's going to happen tonight. Garner will be at right back and Schmidty will be up front. So now I've said all this, Sean Dyche will completely do a 360 and surprise me and many others, I suspect.
I think I'd take a James Garner at right back over Godfrey, to be honest. I think we know he's done it in the past. He probably doesn't like doing it. It's probably not one of his favoured, you know, positions, and not one of his favourite things to do for the team. But you've just kind of named your midfield there, and James Garner's not in that starting midfield. So I think he would give us a bit more flexibility and movement of that side of the pitch. And I think from an attacking point of view, certainly to give Liverpool something to think about on that side, he's probably got more quality in his delivery of his, whether it's a long ball or a cross. So I don't think it will be James Garner. I don't think Dyche would look into that option. I think we know what Dyche is like. He likes to stick with what he knows. Mm. And if that's the case, I know there's two options here, but he sticks with what he knows, because he seems to go back and forth. But it's either going to be Young again, or it is going to be Godfrey. I'd be very surprised, unless he's listening to this podcast. I'd be very surprised if it is James Garner. So, yeah, let's verify it then. You go for your 11 then, bearing in mind, let's say Calvert-Lewin is fit. We've just gone through the options if he's not, but we obviously we know Pickford is going to start. So, yeah, go on.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo. The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
I'll go Pickford in goal, Godfrey right back, Bronfoy, Tarkowski, Mykolenko. Then midfield three of Onana, Guy, Tokori playing in front of them. McNeil on one wing. Jack Harrison on the other. Dominic Calvert-Lewin up front.
I don't disagree with it at all. And I think you're probably right about Gomez. I think he's our most technically gifted player. Fantastic on the ball, but he has been, throughout his Everton career, inconsistent, although, you know, he has been fantastic in part.
You take Gomez out tonight because he probably hasn't got the legs to be able to compete with Liverpool midfield three, but you're probably putting Harrison back in. Well, I'm putting Harrison back in because he's got the legs to compete and put a shift in. Probably lacking the quality that maybe someone like Dan Juma could offer, but because of his energy and his ability to get up and down the pitch and put a real shift in, you know, you probably give him the nod just to that little bit extra security going down either flank.
No, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if he is fit, Gomez, there's no doubt that he could be a bit of a secret weapon coming off the bench. You know, look at the impact that he had against Newcastle. Effectively, that performance in the last 15, 20 minutes when he come on against Newcastle, that enabled us to win a penalty. But, he's been in the team pretty much since then, so it's obviously just going to be a massive game in the midfield. We know what Liverpool are like. Anana probably does come in for me. And then, you know, we see where we go from there with the substitutions. Mm-hmm. If it's still 0-0 at a, you know, certain point in the second half, or whether the game's in the balancing in some scenario, at least then we'll have options to bring off on the bench. So it's going to be an interesting one, Connor. But, you know, we'll finish off soon, finish off in the next 5 minutes. But before we do, just... How do we approach this game from a tactical and a defensive attacking point of view? Because, and the reason I asked this, because the Burnley game, again, I missed it, but I have caught up on everything since. It was a dire game, very poor, probably lucky in the end to win it because of the way the goal went in. But we were so defensively, or that's what it looked like from me, watched it. Post-match, but then we won't play Chelsea, you know, a week or so later, and we seem to be playing with a high line. We obviously didn't go out all attacking or gung-ho, but we just seem to be so open, whereas Forest, we seem to find the right balance against the team who we clearly are better than. So it's going to be difficult now. Liverpool are obviously, quality-wise, player for player, going to be better than us. So what do we do? Do we just sit in defensively? Do we take it to them? The atmosphere is obviously going to be fantastic because it's going to be under the lights. How does Dyche, go at this game?
Well, I think first and foremost, the biggest thing is Everton don't do nothing stupid. Because unfortunately we've seen since the turn of the year that they've had an incredible ability to just kick themselves in the foot whenever they get the chance to. You think of the United game, you know, Chelsea, so many efforts as they were, just be so stupid. So you would like to think, you know, don't do nothing stupid. I think the biggest thing Everton have got to stay in the game for as long as they can. Kind of get the whole, we'll show gung ho and take it to them. That'd be nice, but I think you've got to, you know, be realistic and accept that you've got to stay in the game for as long as you can. You know, maybe try and hit them on a counter attack or a set piece. But yeah, that just don't do anything stupid that will give Liverpool a leg up. Whether that be, you know, goes out to 10 men or give a stupid goal away. Stay in the game for as long as you can. Do the basics right. And who knows what happens. You know, you'd like to think, wouldn't you, if, you know, if it's 0-0, we get to an hour, you know, the pressure will start to ramp on them. You know, they'll really start to, you'd imagine start to feel it, you know, perhaps come a little bit panicked because they're not picking them off. So yeah, I think just you got to stay in the game as long as you can. Do the basics well. And like I say, just don't do nothing stupid. Like, just keep your heads, you know what I mean? And, you know, just do what's required of you. So yeah, that's what I'd like to say. Just, you know, stay in the game as long as we can and don't do anything stupid. Which, that sounds really, like, basic. But I just think we've seen Everton, you know, certainly since the turn of this calendar year, just the inability to find new ways to shoot themselves and the foot's been off the scale. So hopefully tonight's not a continuation of that trend.
Okay, well, we'll do predictions. But before we do, let me just go through a couple of the comments because we've had people watching who submitted. So thank you for that. Again, That is a one way of showing your support, and it is much appreciated. So I'll run through them, Connor. I think we touched upon a couple here, but we've got Eugene McGeever, thoughts on Nottingham Forest calling VAR a Luton fan. Obviously, you did touch on that, but pretty much embarrassing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, wild. Absolutely wild. I mean, yeah, I was, like I said earlier, I was genuinely stunned when I discovered that was an actual tweet from the Nottingham Forest account. Obviously, no, Nuno Conte afterwards didn't even defend what the club had said and stood by what the club had said, but obviously, naturally, he's going to do that, isn't he? Because if we're being, you know, brutally honest, you know, he's not going to go against the man who pays him his wages. He's not going to, you know, go out and publicly disagree with what he said. So, yeah, I just thought it was absolutely wild, a mad take, and one that, you know, I suspect, you know, Forrest will see serious ramifications for.
Okay, Andy Kay says, if Palace can beat Liverpool, why can't we? Fed up of our inferiority complex with them. Our derby record is appalling since Joe Royal was manager. Just win for once. I mean, would you take a point right now, Connor, or is it, you know, a win?
You'd take a point right now, wouldn't you? I mean, if we got to Saturday evening, 7 o'clock in the full time of St. Brentford goals, and they've got 7 points this week, you know, mighty achievement, wouldn't it? So, yeah, I'd take a point. But, you know, it's true, isn't it? Liverpool are beatable. You know, they're not unbeatable. You know, they are beatable, and they, you know, Atalanta have shown up to beatable, Crystal Palace have shown up to beatable. So yeah, you know, Everton, no reason why they can't go out there and get 3 points, but a draw would be a good result for Everton. And yeah, I think like I said, there's been times, hasn't he, where better Everton teams have been, you know, swept aside in a ruthless way by Liverpool than this Everton side. So tonight will be interesting in that aspect, but yeah, there's no reason why I haven't caught them, but yeah, you'd be mad not to take a draw, wouldn't you, as we sit here, you know?
Yeah, Trevor Longmore says, we can win tonight, let's kick them off the park, Blues. Tazul Islam says, hello guys, hoping Dice doesn't start with Ashley Young, he's a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, we've had a very in-depth conversation on Ashley Young, Connor, and you know, he was very much a focal point of Sunday's game. He's always going to divide opinion, I suppose, Ashley Young, maybe.
Yeah, disaster waiting to happen, probably a little bit too strong, a little bit hard. But yeah, there'd be a few nervous faces, a few nervous people, I think, in the crowd would be if Ashley Young was named in the start 11 tonight after the weekend. And obviously, like I say, after how we saw he struggled against Diaz in particular back in Anfield in October.
As Eugene McGeever has pointed out, the best thing that Ashley Young probably did over the weekend was post to Twitter the picture of Crimea River by Justin Timberlake. Interesting one here, Connor. I don't know whether we're going to be able to answer this fully, but the simple musician says, and this is an actual point, this, because I'm very happy about the way the table looks at the minute, 5 points clear, but I'll read the question out anyway. Simple musician, do we have to worry at all about further points deductions this season? Talks over stadium interest still to be had. Makes knowing what we need from each game difficult if we're going to be deducted further points. I don't think we're expecting any more point deductions this season. I think it's next season if it's going to happen. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that is what I certainly understand it to be. It'll be next season. We don't know. I think it's the big answer. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of things still to be ironed out. But yeah, I don't think that my understanding is there won't be any more point deductions this season. It'll be next season if there are any to come.
Okay, well, thanks for your questions, guys. Much appreciated. Remember to give us a like as well and a subscribe if you haven't already done so. Okay, Connor, I was aiming for 40 minutes. We are 43, but we have got a little bit more time for predictions. Are we going positive? Are we going negative? Are we going with a bit of a balance view?
I'm going to go sit firmly on the fence and go 1-1.
I'm laughing because I was literally going to say the same. I just can't see if it's going to be like a high scoring game, as in like I just can't see us winning it. If Liverpool like score one or two, I just think we'll fold. So we obviously do need to keep it tight. You know, assert pressure obviously when we can, because at the end of the day you're not going to score goals unless you attack. So I think it's been too agreeable, I think, this podcast, but it is what it is. So I think 1-1, I'm more than happy to agree with you, and I'll be more than happy to take that come you know, half 10, quarter past 10, whatever the final whistle time is going to be. But it is going to be interesting, Connor. What are the rest of your plans for the day? You are off, so I appreciate you jumping on the podcast with us.
No major plans. Just take it easy, I think, and then head down to Goodison Park tonight for the big game.
Are you like working media? Are you in the media part today?
No, I'm in the Goodison Park crowd tonight in the stands as a supporter.
Okay, well, I might see you there.
Yeah, well, hopefully we see each other after some smiling.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, we'll finish there. Remember to give us a like, give us a subscribe, and follow us on Facebook, which is Everton FC, Liverpool Echo, Royal Blue YouTube channel as well. Most of our live content is on YouTube now, and we've also got, obviously, podcasts on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and Spotify. So, yeah, looking forward to the game tonight, fingers crossed. I have made the decision. I am going, Connor, so you can't stop me, and no one else can stop me. I have got my ticket, and I will be at Goodison Park.
The only thing I would say is just as a little, you know, not superstition, but maybe an omen. The last time we've done a match day preview pod for a midweek game, the Blues comfortably swept aside Newcastle United 3-0. So,
well, there you go.
You know, they won last time out, so they're going to do it again tonight.
Fingers crossed. Okay, well, I've been your host, Ian Crowell, joined by Conor O'Neill, and this has been the Royal Blue Podcast.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.